your trespasses and sin. It's important. How did he look at you, Elizabeth? He loved us. He loved me ere I knew him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He loved me. Ere I didn't know him. I didn't know him. I didn't care about him. I just wanted to do my thing. I just wanted to get high and ride motorcycles. He loved me ere I knew him. And he reached down and pulled me out and saved me. I wasn't looking for him. I didn't ask him. I didn't beg him. I didn't plead him. I didn't care. He loved me ere I knew him. That's a great song.
Hallelujah.
And now, all my love is due him. Amen.
Great.
Hallelujah. Don't judge. Remember how did Jesus look at you. Be careful when you look at people. Be careful when you look at them in their sin and their debauchery. Be careful how you look at them. And remember, how did Jesus look at you? And now, here we go. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What was His attitude toward the sinner? And so should ours be. Come on. How many say, I repent? Forgive me, Lord. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, I was sharing this morning. You know, the Lord, early on when I was a Christian, the Lord told me to witness to this guy. He was rough looking. He had like earrings in his nose and stuff. And I used to have one in my ear, but I went into that nose stuff. And I said, you want me to witness to him? And God spoke to me and said, I saved you, didn't I? That changed my life. And that's for real. That's what the Lord spoke. That still small voice. That changed my life. It changed the way I look at people. And how dare I? How dare I? My freak flag was flying when I came in this church. And yet, oh yeah, I got saved and cleaned up a little bit. Next thing I know, because it wasn't the same as me, that guy, the Lord took that out of me quick. Okay? And I hope it's not in you at all. If it is, get rid of it today. Amen? Hallelujah. Ask Him. Ask Him to give you His mind to see others the way He sees them. Hallelujah. Praise God. My neighbors, I want to get you involved in this too. My neighbors in the backyard the other day had asked me, said, you go to all these auctions, can you get us a woman's bike? So we've been going to Frederick, we've been ministering to the homeless. There's camps full of homeless people in Frederick. And the Lord laid it on their heart to start this ministry. My neighbor did. And they go every two or three weeks. And they buy food. And you know, they said, this thing is just exploding. There's like five or six churches involved now. And I don't know how many people, like 100 people. And they've got an email list. And they put out the list saying what they need. And you know, they said that, you know, they still run into people that say, well, people deserve to be there. Well, they it's their own fault. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus condemn the drunkard? Did He condemn the prostitute? Well, you're just there because you didn't, you know. No! He ministered to them. And Jesus said, as you've done unto the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me. And sometimes it just means giving somebody something to eat. And praise God, they went, they was just sharing. You know, Liz, the Lord laid it on her heart to bring us need before the women's meeting about this bicycle. And somebody, the Lord put it on their heart and they said, I'm doing it. And it's been delivered. And that woman was blessed. And they go from camp to camp. And they said, we just want to meet their needs right now. And we're asking the Lord to lead us when to give them the gospel. And he said, last week there was a second time at this little camp. You know what the people said? We want a church service. So the Lord's way ahead of us. So if you'd like an opportunity to minister in a real way to a real need in our community, let us know. You can donate food. You can donate stuff. You can donate money. You can go preach. I'm going the next time. And when you know the next two times they're going, I'm out of town. Ugh. But I want to go. You can go. Thank you, brother. That's right. You can go. It'll touch your life. We have a missions field right here. Amen? So, praise the Lord for that. But Jesus didn't look at people when He met their needs and say, well, you deserve this. If you wouldn't have done this, you wouldn't be in this position. Did He ask why the demoniac had demons? Did He ask why the prostitute was a prostitute? No. Others did that. The blind man. Well, maybe he's blind because his parents did something wrong. Jesus didn't even question that. He just healed him. Amen? He just healed him. So having been forgiven, hallelujah, we are alive in Christ. Amen? Some of us just look like we're dead. Did I say that? Oops. How are we alive? Romans 8:6 says, again, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal is fleshly, flesh and bones. You choose what you think about. Okay? You cannot help the thoughts that come in, but what does the Bible say? The Bible says, take every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Do you dwell on it, or do you flush that thing out right away? You know what I mean? Okay, you choose. Do you want to think about the fleshly things? Lust. Lust comes in. You want to dwell on that? You want to continue with that? You want to... No. You take that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you something that will wipe the slate clean real quick. Open that up and start reading it. Amen? Cannot choose what thoughts come, but you can take every thought into... You know, the economy's a mess. You know, they're saying the stock market's going to crash again. What's going to happen? I'm going to lose my job. I'm sick. I'm going to die. Oh no. What's going to happen? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my mortgage? My car needs fixed. You going to dwell on that? Or, you know what? God is in control. God is my provision. God is my provider. Gee, the Bible says he's never seen the man of God beg bread. You understand what I'm saying? To have the mind of Christ, our attitude, our thought process, are we going to worry? Are we going to fret? The Bible says, worry is sin. Doesn't it? Anything that's not of faith is sin. Are we going to say, well, Lord, the bills are piling up. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm trusting you. Is that all right? Yeah. Stop spending. There you go. There's some practical things you can do as well, of course. Oh, I'm sick. What if it's this? What if it's that? I'm going to die. It's not saying you shouldn't be concerned, and it's not saying you shouldn't, but you should just be moved to prayer. And once you put it there, you lay it down. Right, Lois? You lay that burden down. Come on. You lay that burden down and leave it there. Let this mind be in you. Now, it takes work. How many worry? I do. Come on. Raise your hand. How many worry? Yeah. Look at us sinners. I do. You know, and it's like a cycle. I'm like the children of Israel. You know, they do good and then they go back into it and the Lord has to deliver them. And a couple weeks ago it got to where, you know, I had like $100 left. And I've got to be able to buy stuff at auction and sell stuff to keep my business going. You know, and then I'll get worried about it and then I'll talk to Elizabeth and I'll say, it's going to be all right, honey? And she says, yep. And then I'll just say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't trust you. I don't care what happens. I'm just going to trust you. You know, and then the next week, you know, the bank account had money in it again. I don't want to say filled up, but I mean, I go through that. I go through these cycles of worrying. It's wrong. So I need to pray. I need to pray.
Get this mind in you.
Yes, call Pastor Lane, ask him for some cash, right? No, he's right. He's right. I'm preaching to myself because that's where I'm telling you. That's why I said, anybody else like me, that you worry. But that's exactly right. And that's what I'll be praying for at the altar call. Lord, let this mind be in you. Did Jesus worry about anything?
No.
Oh, guys, disciples, gather around. The Pharisees, I think they want to kill me. What am I going to do? Did you see that guy? I think he's got a demon. It's freaking me out. What am I going to do? No. Jesus commanded it. I like in the boat, man. The boat was about to sink, so thought the disciples. Jesus is sleeping. He's sleeping. He's down in the hall of the boat sleeping. And they wake him up. And they're we're going to die. And he's like, oh, yeah. In Sunday school, I was saying, I hope there's an archive so we can see the actual events. You know, I'm sure God's got like some super 3D, you know, audio-visual thing. I hope. You know, because I want to see the ark and I want to see Elijah defeat the prophets of Baal and all that stuff. You know, I want to see that. You know, how did he say that? You know, I didn't finish, but Jesus said, you know, or the disciples were afraid. They thought they were going to die because the ship and Jesus is asleep, so they woke him up and he said, oh, ye of little faith. You know, I don't think it's like in the movies. You ever notice in the movies they always have Jesus with a British accent? Not sure why that is. Oh, ye of little faith. You know, I don't think it was like that. I think it was more like, you know, oh, what are you? I'm Jesus. I can handle this, right? Oh, ye of little faith. So even the disciples got nervous and got scared. But what they did do was right. What did they do? They got the master up. Okay? They sought the master. And he said, oh, ye little faith. And I'm sure he says that about me all the time. Right? But we need to trust him. How many need to trust him more? How many need to trust him for your worries and your fears and your anxieties? We live in a messed up world. And I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. But I know one thing. Jesus is alive. And I belong to him. Amen? Praise God. So the opposite of that is saying God is in control. He sets up the leaders. He sets up the leaders. Amen. Amen. He knows who the president is. Does that mean we shouldn't be involved in politics and shouldn't be active in trying to get righteous rulers back in office? No, I don't think so. But he knows. He's in control. Will he provide? He is my portion. He's my portion. Do we forget? I'll never forget. Very, very early on when Liz and I was first married, I was talking to my grandma Baker. And she was saying, she goes, I'm worried all the time. And she was the sweetest grandma you ever, I mean, she was like the textbook grandma, you know? And just real timid and just, and she said, I know I worry and that's wrong. And I was able to just open up the Bible and say, Grandma, look here. And Jesus said, consider the birds. You ever see a bird worried? No. You ever see a bird plant a garden? Do you ever see a bird reap grain? No. Jesus said, they don't sow, they don't reap, but yet the Father takes care of them. Are you not much more than a bird? So next time you're worried, say, I'm better than a bird. Everybody say, I'm better than a bird. Say it again, I'm better than a bird. So next time you're worried, I want you to say, I'm better than a bird. I don't know where that came from, but that was cool. You say you do or don't? We'll take a vote on it. Colossians 3:1 says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's there. Amen? Amen? And He cares for you. And He's there making intercession for you. What better position can we be in? Even if we lose our job. Even if the economy's bad. Even if the stock market crashes. Even if there's oil spewing into the Gulf. It doesn't matter because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. And for me. What more can we ask for? Amen? We have no right to worry. Got problems? He's alive. Got troubles? Say it. He's alive. Oh, come on now. Got troubles?
He's alive.
Yes, He's at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for you, making intercession. Yo, God knows how many hairs are on your head. Check out that bald spot I'm getting. I just noticed that the other day. I'm like, whoa, it's there.
Not as big as mine.
This is true. But I press on, brother. I press on. I don't care. I'm married. The race is over. But saying it, He's alive. I'm better than a bird. Jesus is making intercession for me. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He loves me. I don't have to worry. He's my provider. He's my portion. By saying these things, you have the mind of Christ. And guess what? You're going to have peace. You're going to have peace. Hallelujah. How many know the peace that passes understanding? Come on. Christ-like mind is alive and chooses. Listen now. The Christ-like mind is alive and chooses the spiritual over the fleshly. God is not going to zap you today and make you walk around like a zombie and just do what Jesus did. But He'll give you the strength. The biggest thing is He'll give you the desire and the determination to grow. Amen. Harry, go ahead, brother. You gonna say something? Yes, it is. Yeah, it gets it in. It gives you goosebumps. All right, secondly, I got to move along. Well, this clock says it's only 11 o'clock, so I got another hour. I ain't kidding you. Okay.
That's for me.
Oh, that's for you when you preach. Okay. I haven't earned that yet. Secondly, let's go. Secondly, he was single-minded. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by her craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That's 3 days of sermon right there. Your mind, he said, "I'm afraid in your minds you're going to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Keeping our eyes on Jesus and His pure Word. His Word is not difficult to understand. Say amen. We can believe the what's without understanding the how's. Okay. Do you believe He was raised? Do you know how God did that? Doesn't matter if you know how He did. You understand what I mean? Do you believe He raised the dead? Healed the sick? Do you believe He provides for our needs? You don't have to understand how He does it. That's His job. Amen? Praise God. We can believe the what's without understanding the how's. It's a simple message. It says what it says, and it means what it says. The Word of God. You can understand it. Be careful lest your mind become corrupted away from the simplicity which is in Christ. It's not complicated. You can understand it. Amen? We get into trouble when we lose focus on the Lord and start to look for formulas and what this word really means. Okay? That's when we get into trouble. And we start following man's teaching. Man's idea. Okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Beware of new revelations. Okay? It seems like the Christian culture, if you will, is driven by the next newest thing. And look what I found. I dug this out of the Old Testament. This is what I mean. The Bible does not mean anything for us today that it didn't mean for the original recipients. Okay? I learned that in hermeneutics. Herman who? Wow, you missed that one. Most false teachings are self-centered. It's all about me. It's all about I. Okay? Be careful with that. Lest you get away, your mind becomes corrupted away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay? We're all sinners. You go through the Ten Commandments, you'll find out you've broken every one of them. We need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He paid the penalty. It's simple. And He saved you to serve Him. Amen? The single-minded Christian will keep his focus on Jesus, His commands, and His ways. Ask yourself, when you hear these things, does that sound like the biblical Jesus? Okay? You hear this stuff on TV or whatever, the next new thing or the next book that comes out. Does that sound like the biblical Jesus? Does that sound like biblical Christianity? We are called to service. Amen? Read the New Testament. There's an idea. Instead of the next newest thing on CBD's top 10. Amen? God wrote it for you to read. Amen? Number three, lowly. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit." Kind of lines up with what I was just talking about. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Now, he's not talking about low self-esteem. Anybody else have that besides me? You know, when it's beat into your head when you're a kid that you're worthless, you tend to believe it. And it's a struggle to understand the truth. Amen? The truth is, that's not. Okay? He's not talking about low self-esteem. He's not thinking like, oh, you know, "I know that I am but a worm." Right? "So step on me, Lord, and watch me squirm." That was an old Christian comedian tape we had a long time ago. It was 8-track. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Oh, Lord, I need a Cadillac. Oh, Lord, I need the best clothes." Pastor Lay complimented my suit this morning. It's got a big red stain here. I don't know where that came from, and I got it at Goodwill for $15. There you go. That's lowliness right there, baby. But let each one esteem others better than himself. And it doesn't mean you're walking around going, oh, I'm the worst person ever lived. Everybody's better than me. But it means, you go first, brother. Here, you go. You know, we try to teach the boys and Rangers, here, you have the, I want the last cookie. How many want the last cookie? Yeah, I want the last cookie, but you know what? Jesus would give the last cookie to somebody else. Yeah, you don't get shouts from the kids on that one either. Selfish ambition. False prosperity teaching is self-centered. It's all about you. You're a king's kid. You deserve the best. You ought to have a Mercedes because God's children shouldn't be driving a Pinto. It's foolishness. Okay, you can be mad at me if you want to, but it's foolishness and somebody needs to call it as such. All the efforts toward focusing on our own blessings. You never hear him talking about witnessing. You know, every once in a while, well, God's going to give you $1 million so you have money to give to other people. Whatever. Okay? Right. Well, you know, brothers said they don't give a tenth of what they got. But that's the thing. They will do that, and they'll brag about how much money they gave. Well, yeah, if I had $1 million, it wouldn't be a big deal for me to give $100,000. Okay? It's just foolishness. And if you're involved in that, you need to break out of it and follow the Bible. The biblical Christianity. All right? Shout?
Amen.
How many agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm not scared.
Number four.
Almost. You can count? You got chicken in the oven? We should not be focused on our own blessings. That's what he's talking about. Esteeming others above ourselves. Are you more concerned about your blessings and God blessing you or seeing other people's blessed? You know, the person that bought the bicycle, it probably was a stretch. But that person did that to be a blessing to someone else. It was a sacrifice. And that's much more than somebody putting $100,000 in a plate from a million they conjured from people on TV. I'm moving on. True humility is knowing that but by the grace of God go I. Come on. True humility is, but by the grace of God, I'm that miserable, drunken wretch that I was before He called me when I wasn't even looking for Him. That's proper view of yourself. And we're not talking about low self-esteem. We're talking about putting others first, knowing who we are in Christ, but knowing that we are nothing without Him. Did you get that? Because that's another big thing. Oh, you got to know who you are in Christ. Yes. But knowing that without Him, what are you? Where would you be without Him? Where would you be without Jesus? Ultimately, where would you be without Jesus? Eternity in hell. We have no right to pride. You hear me? We have no right to pride. Lowly is good. Job 5:11 says, the lowly He sets on high. Hallelujah. He looks upon the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar. Psalms 138:6. A man's pride brings him low, but the man of a lowly spirit gains honor. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29. Lowly means to recognize the vast difference between the Almighty and ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are not a little God. And that's a big lie that they're preaching. And I could give you a list, and a lot of you probably listen to these people on TV. You're not a little God. God is God. I am man. Creation. Under Him. Amen? Alright, next one. Pure. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. Let that sink in. Purity is the natural state of the Christian. Because of a renewed mind, we will look at things differently. Okay, again, carnal mind versus a spiritual mind. You remember how you used to look at things? Think about how the carnal man looks at things. To the pure, all things are pure. You can see the good in things. Amen? You know, you can even look and you can see some, maybe a family member who's in sin, but you can look and you can see, hey, they got me praying for them. That's a good thing. You know, the Bible says, you know, whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are good, report, focus on these things. To the pure, all things are pure. You can find the pure. You can focus on the positive things. Amen? But to those who are corrupted and defiled, nothing is pure. Okay? You look at people without Christ, not even little children are pure. They're used and abused. Every day, what's more pure than a wonderful little baby that God brings into this world? And yet men and women abuse and molest each other. Nothing is pure because they're corrupted. Their minds are corrupted. Come on. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, you ever have anybody on that? Do you ever have anybody say, why do you got to make everything so spiritual? Because it is. Amen? And they might say, well, look at that. You know, look at our brother. Look what he's doing. Brother as in physical brother. Look at the things he's doing. He's drinking, he's doing it. Well, we're praying for him, and I believe God's going to reach him. God, why do you got to make everything so spiritual? Because people just want to talk bad about people. But if we have the mind of Christ, we're going to say, this is the one for whom Christ died. Are you familiar with that? These are those for whom Christ died. That'll change your attitude. You look at somebody and you despise them and what they're doing, that is one for whom Christ died. In other words, that is one Jesus looked and said, that person is worth me dying on the cross for. He did it for me. He did it for you. Amen? Pure. How many have a perfectly pure mind? I can't raise it. Seek it. Amen? Praise God. It takes discipline. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, amen, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed means to be fashioned after, to be adapted to. So say, don't be fashioned after this world. Don't worry about what they're wearing. If you can't go to the store and you can't find clothing, it covers your body, make your own. Don't be conformed to the world. Well, that's all there is. They got cloth. They got patterns. Make your own. Amen? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be fashioned after the world. Don't take after the world. You are not of this world. You're of Jesus. You're Jesus, people, and you are to follow Him and what His Word says. Amen? Praise God. Impurity is reached by the corruption of the mind and of the spirit by following this world. Following this world. I've said it before, and it breaks my heart. You know, we get these guys in Rangers, and we've seen God change these boys, and we've seen some of these boys grow into godly young men, and it's awesome. But by the same token, we've seen kids who knew their Bible verses, who came to Rangers, and as soon as they got out of the house, they're out in the world. I could name a handful of them for you right now, and it breaks my heart, and they're different. They're changed because they've conformed to the world. They thought they were missing something, so now they're conformed to the world. We're just trusting that the Lord brings them back home. You can't play with the world. You'll be conformed to it. You'll be molded into it. Amen? You'll be fashioned to be just like the world. And it's full of corruption and sin. It takes discipline to be pure. We are constantly assaulted with temptation of every kind. Lust. Jealousy. You know, it's not just struggling, men and women and everybody else struggling with the lust of the eyes. You know, and rampant pornography and instant access on your computer. It's not just that. It's jealousy. Greed. You see a commercial. Oh, I want that. Man, that TV is 2 inches bigger than mine. I gotta have that. Come on. I gotta have it. Coveting. Oh man, look at my neighbor's car. Man, his car's nicer than mine. Come on. Are you with me? I want that. Sin is everywhere. To overcome temptation, you must want to be pure. Do you hear me? To overcome, you must want to be pure. Purity and striving for purity must be your passion. Do you wake up every day and say, Lord, how can I be more like you? Lord Jesus, I want to be like you today. We should, every day. Lord, let this mind be in me which was in you. Amen? Let me see people the way you see them. Let me desire the things that you desire. Cause me to pray. Cause me to serve. Cause me to obey. Amen? With every temptation, God gives a way of escape. We will only choose that way of escape if we already have a desire to be pure. I believe that. How many know it's true? How many can say, you don't raise your hand, but how many can say, I have failed and I have sinned and I knew God made the escape, but I didn't take it? Because before the temptation comes, we have to have a made-up mind. Every morning, whatever. Lord, protect my eyes. Protect my mind. I want to be like you, Jesus. Every day. It's not going to, you're not going to come to the altar today. And like I said, God's going to zap you and all of a sudden you're going to be pure. You're going to be holy. You're going to be perfect. But hopefully God is putting in you today a desire to seek that which is right and that which is real. Come on. This will affect the way we live and everything we do. Psalms 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Internet, TV, magazines. I will set no wicked... Why? Why did he say that? Because he knew if he didn't protect his eyes, he would not be able to protect his heart. If you're watching things on TV, you're looking at things on the internet that you shouldn't be, get rid of the computer. Get rid of the TV if you have to. Put a filter on that thing. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. And I know there are men and women too here that are dealing with that. It's time to shake yourself loose of that. Amen? It's time. No more games. It's time. It's an epidemic. The Bible says over 50% of Christian men look at pornography regularly on the internet and 30% of pastors. It's time, men. It's time to stand up and say, deliver me. And I have a desire to be pure. And it's not time to ignore it. Amen. One writer said, strength comes prior to temptation. This is good. Strength comes prior to temptation, not during it. You're not going to take that way of escape if you don't have that strength ahead of time. Temptation will come. Temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. Are you prepared? Are you girded up? You got your uniform on, soldiers of Christ? Are you ready for the fight? Are you ready for the battle? And too often we just roll over and just roll with it anyway. With no battle at all. With no resistance at all. Come on, somebody. Overcoming is a prior act. I said overcoming is a prior act. It involves making a decision to be and remain pure before the temptation comes. Shout, somebody. Number five, responsive. Luke 24:45. Speaking of the disciples, he said, then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. That's part of having the mind of Christ. Your mind will be open to understand and to hear His voice. Many of you have experienced that still small voice where God tells you to do something. We discussed that in Sunday school. See, you should have been here. Amen? Then he opened our minds so they can understand. With a Christ-like renewed mind, we can understand the Word. If we're pure, if we're seeking Him, He is going to teach us. He has an interest in you. He has a desire for you to be pure and to be holy and to be useful for His kingdom. So if you'll sit down and open this and actually read the words that are in there, He's going to teach you something. He's going to show you what it means. And He's going to lead you and guide you. Amen? How many want to do as much as you can on this earth for Jesus before He comes? Come on. Well, that's part of it. 1 Corinthians 2:14, I'm almost done. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if you don't have the Lord, you don't understand all this stuff. You don't understand about the Holy Spirit. You don't understand about forgiveness. You don't understand about deliverance. You don't understand about really being a servant. Really giving true charity. You know, the natural man doesn't understand true charity. That's why they stand up with these big gigantic checks and say, hey, look what I gave. Because they want their reward. They want to be patted on the back. But a Christian understands, hey, I gave it in secret. My left hand doesn't know what the right hand did. Because I don't want somebody saying, man, he's awesome. Look at that. He's awesome. That's why I didn't name the person who gave the bicycle. Because their reward is in heaven. Amen? Praise God. I mentioned it to my pastor because I wanted my pastor to see what was going on with the people of this flock. And I was praising God for that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we will be responsive to His teaching and to the prompts of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're not just going to come to church, listen to a sermon, look at our watches and say, man, it's almost 12:30 and he's still yakking. And I got chicken in the oven. We're going to say, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? What was that? What is that? Okay. Oh, yeah, I get it, Lord. Lord, that's me. Lord, He's talking about me. That's me He's talking about. Lord, change me. Do you see? Do you see that attitude? And not, man, is He done yet? But, oh, is that all? You know, when pastor's preaching. I'm not talking about myself. But really, what is our attitude toward the Word? Is it, man, come on, hurry up, dude, I want to eat. I didn't, you know. But, Lord, what else do you have for me? Are you hungry for the Word? Are you hungry for the message that God has for you on any given day? All right? I didn't just say that because I'm running over. Paul speaks of the Israelites in the desert, and he said they were the opposite. Their eyes were blinded. Listen to this. Their eyes were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Word, of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Isn't that awesome? You got Pharisees, you know, they had the religion down. But they knew what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. But they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know the Lord. They memorized the Word. They didn't know the Word. There was a veil over their eyes. But when you take on seeking to have the mind of Christ, God's going to lift that veil. And you're going to see that in that Word. That Word is going to come alive to you, and you're going to be hungry for it. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, hallelujah, the veil is taken away. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God, somebody. Hallelujah. They did not, you know, they read it. They knew. A couple weeks ago, I preached about the prophecies that, do you remember? That Jesus, it was called No Doubt, my sermon. And the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in one day. The Pharisees knew every one of them prophecies. And yet Jesus walked right in front of them and they did not know Him. Because there was a veil over their eyes. Hallelujah. Lord, cause us to not have a veil on our eyes that we may see Your Word. How do we cultivate this attitude? Read His Word. I said, read His Word. Yes. Let Him speak to you and teach you. Daily. Several times a day. Often. Come on. You got to drive to work somewhere? Get the Bible on CD, man. Plug it in. We got all the conveniences. You can listen to that. I do that when I'm doing in Bible college, when I'm doing a specific book, like, you know, Revelation. And I'll listen to it over and over when I'm driving. Over and over and over and over and over. You know, and then when I get home and crack a book, oh yeah, I remember that. All right? Read. Pray. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw the power in it. They saw the results when Jesus prayed, and they said, I want that. How many say, I want that? Lord, teach us to pray. Thirdly, obey. We love that word. When the Spirit moves you, obey. Obey. Do what He tells you to do. Buy somebody a bicycle if the Lord whispers it on your heart. Witness to somebody. Give somebody a sandwich. Give somebody a nice word. Give somebody a phone call. Give somebody a visit. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. Because in doing, we just talked about this in Rangers Wednesday, because He's going to give you little things to do. And when you obey, He's going to give you bigger things to do, like the parable of the talents. And then in the end, what's He going to say? Levi, what's He going to say? Well done. You remember? I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. How many want to hear that? As you obey in the small things, He'll give you greater things. Jesus was sensitive and responsive to the Father. We need to be. He said, I do nothing on my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. John 8:28. We cannot function independently of the Lord. We cannot say, okay, I know I need to know. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it my way. Everything we do in the Lord, we need to seek Him as to how He wants us to do it. With much prayer. Amen? That's what Jesus did. Lastly, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Peaceful. Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, being spiritual minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. The spiritual mind is at peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We must set our minds on peace. It is God's work to provide the peace. Okay? You get that? We have to set our minds on it. It's His job to provide it. Okay, we find rest and peace by taking His yoke, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
You will find rest by taking His yoke. If it's not easy, it's not His. Many of us need to listen to that. If the yoke you've taken on is not easy. It's not His. Okay? He'll lead you and guide you and show you what to do and give you the strength and the ability to do it. And the things that we're doing, if it, you know, whether it's worrying about our bills, worrying about our job, that's not an easy yoke. You need to take His yoke and you'll find rest for your souls. Okay? So we need to decide. We need to set our minds and ask the Lord through the Word to renew our minds. We need to protect our minds. We need to determine to be pure. We need to gird up our minds. In other words, put our armor on. Amen? And by doing so, we are imitating Christ. Now I just ask everyone to stand. I know it's late, but this is important. Amen? How many say it's important? Say amen. It's more important that you let God do what He wants to do in you than you get home to eat. Amen? So I'm just going to say right now, come, this altar is open. If you say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I want to start to gain and have the mind of Christ, come. Come. It's open. Come. Just come and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Come this morning and commit to God to have a mind that is alive. Hallelujah. To have a mind that is single-minded and focused on the purity of His Word and on Jesus. To have a mind that is lowly and humble before Him and that recognizes the vast difference between Almighty God and you. To have a mind that is pure. To have a mind that seeks holiness in Him. It's not a game, folks. It's not a social club. We're God's people, and we need to be God's people. We need to live like God's people, and we need to press on toward the high mark of the calling of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And truly be like Him. And pray to have a mind that is responsive to Him and to what He says. Have a mind that responds to His Word. Responds to His comfort. That responds to His promises of healing and peace and love and salvation. And to have a mind that is peaceful. We all go through so many struggles and torments in this life. We need to commit to Him. Lord, You are the Prince of Peace. And I want to commit to the Prince of Peace. And pray this morning to commit that you can say, Lord, let this mind, Lord, be in me, which was in Christ Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God.